Okay, we are continuing this journey to intertwine a few different sections of Scripture that we've been talking about. First out of Acts 2:42, which was the church in the first century, and then also the 1 Corinthians 12, starting verse 7 or so, the gifts of the Spirit, and the whole thing of being mothers and fathers to each other, or mentors, or whatever, with the whole purpose, mentors or encouragers, with the whole purpose of helping all of us, helping each other to walk further into Christ. So that's what we're continuing on. We're going to continue to intertwine those in the days ahead. I mean, the beautiful thing about the Bible is, I suppose you can go in, and you've all probably seen this, you can go in and find a scripture and build your gospel on that, and that's the only thing you ever look at. But it may not be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And so we're wanting to just tie things together. And I think God is, and the Holy Spirit, as He's leading us, is helping us to do that. So, Father, I pray that You would just continue to be with me, that You continue to speak through me, that, Lord, that You would cause everything that is of You to pierce our hearts, and anything that is not of You would fall on the floor in front of us. Father, that You would just bless us, keep us, and go before us. And I ask, Lord, that You would just speak through me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Who says I can't multitask? I can pray and get a bottle of water at the same time. Okay. Anyway, so like I said, we're looking at the gifts. That's where we are. Particularly the nine, what I call, affectionately call the nine in 1 Corinthians 12, and which will help us to be better mentors, which would help us to be better disciples, or terms we're using, fathers and mothers, with the understanding that, like in Romans 12 and a lot of other places, there's some really good courses on, what's the one your mother's going through in Columbia? Oh, but you used a phrase. Anyway, yes, spiritual gifts inventory and so forth to help us to find out what it is that God has really equipped us to. But it's also done through relationship where people just encourage one another, because as we know here, the relationship is a huge thing. But all of these gifts, the nine as well as the others, will help us to walk into all that God has for us. Because with the Holy Spirit within us and the gospel in our right hand, we're powerful. Not so much because of who we are individually, but because of who we are. We're adopted children of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is resident within us. What we learn from looking at Acts 2:42 to 47 is that all these things were working within the early church, and especially as you look through the whole book of Acts. In Acts 2:43, in New Living Translation, says, "A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders." Because they were using the gifts that came, they were poured out to them when the Holy Spirit was poured out to them when they were up in the upper room in Acts 2, and when they came out. Let me read through that. 1 Corinthians 12:7 to 14. "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between tongues, between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one of the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. For just as the body is one, has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. From one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many." We need each other. We can't do it alone. We need people to be walking with us, mentoring us, whatever word you want to use. But the gifts were given for a specific purpose, and I love it. In verse 7 in the ESV, it says, all for the common good. And the NLT, New Living Translation, puts it this way, so we can help each other. So we can help each other. See, we've all been given the gifts. And the gifts I'm talking about are the observable gifts, the gifts that we can see, the gifts that we can hear. There's gifts like prayer, you know, just a delight to be praying, and gifts in other areas and so forth. But what we're really focusing in on these nine is those that are visible, they're observable, they're things that we see that will help us draw closer to Christ, that will help us to walk into all God has given us to walk into, to be more and more Christ-like, to be better fathers, to be better mothers, to be better mentors, to be better encouragers, to be better at, like the scripture says, to honor others more than we honor ourselves. Okay, and to think more highly of others than we do of ourselves. Last Sunday, we talked about four different theological views on whether the gifts are for today and to what degree. The first one was the cessationist view, which we don't buy at all. The gifts are alive and well. And we went through them briefly, and I recommended the book if you wanted to go into more depth. But what it came out is, what do I believe? Well, the gifts are alive and well today. They're here. They're functioning. They're resonant within us. We have the ability to use them. We went through and understand that contrary to the teaching of the past, the Holy Spirit, we receive the Holy Spirit as salvation. There's scriptures that indicate that. But it also scriptures that indicate that we can have repeated fillings of the Holy Spirit to where we pick up more gifts or walk in power or the various things that we saw what happened with Paul and Peter and others. And then last week, we also talked about the gift of tongues. And I know it comes toward the end of the list, but I thought that I would take the most controversial one right up front and to just talk about it. It's available today for all believers. It's an amazing gift. It's a gift that some might say is demonic, and I've heard it preached that, okay? And as like I said last week, there's actually a church or two in this town that says if you speak in tongues, you can't be a member here. It's in their bylaws. That's true. But it's just not understood. It's not a gift that makes us more spiritual. It's not a gift that's unto salvation like some churches might teach. It's a gift that helps us to have a more intimate relationship with the Lord and therefore to be able more equipped to walk with each other. Well, I'm going to go now back into the order of how they're listed in 1 Corinthians 12 here. And I'm going to talk about two today. I'm going to talk about wisdom and knowledge. Just for grins and gigs, they're often referred to as the pedagogical gifts, which means gifts that are used for teaching. That's impressive, right? And we sang a song this morning, Great is Thy Lord. And there was a line in that song that said, deep are the wisdom and knowledge of God. I could end this teaching right now. I'm not going to, so don't get too excited. I could end this teaching right now by saying what you need to understand about wisdom, the gifts of wisdom and knowledge, utterance of wisdom and knowledge, or word of wisdom and knowledge, as some Bibles put it, is that they are deep, and we need them. 1 Corinthians 12:8, ESV. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. And I'm going to look first at the utterance of wisdom, or the word of wisdom. And the ESV puts it, given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. The NLT puts it, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. That's why we need each other. And that word wisdom, the Greek word is sophia, and what that means in the Strong's is the skill in the affairs of life, It's practical wisdom too, okay, which we'll talk about and expand on. Wise management is shown in forming the best plans and selecting the best means, including the idea of judgment and good sense. Lunida Dictionary that I like to use says the capacity to understand and, as a result, to act wisely, to be prudent. It's to see a situation and be able to speak to it with God's understanding and wisdom. We don't want the wisdom of man. What does God say about the wisdom of man? It's folly. It's foolish. And man, well, if you read the papers, you know what I'm talking about. But the literal translation is the word of wisdom. Simply put, it's the ability to speak forth wisdom on how to apply knowledge. See, wisdom and knowledge are really closely tied together. It's provided by God either indirectly or directly. And again, in contrast to the wisdom of man. See, when we use the word wisdom here and also when we get to knowledge, these two terms are used rather broadly. Okay? They're not exactly like, though they may be revelatory, they're not exactly like prophecy, where prophecy tends to be more specific. For those who have prophesied, for those who have received prophecies, they tend to be specific. Now, it's interesting about this gift, because the only place it's mentioned is 1 Corinthians 12:8. It's not really the gift, it's the gift of the word of wisdom, utterance of wisdom. It's not mentioned anyplace else, though wisdom is throughout the Bible. You go to Proverbs, and there's all kinds of things about wisdom. Talks about it in the sense of a person. If you don't read Proverbs, you should read one chapter a day. It's just amazing. But because it's not defined by Paul, it can lead to people just coming up with various scriptural antidotes to try and define it. But how I'm going to approach it is to try to stay within the context of what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians, but also looking at some of the history of what was going on in Corinth at the time. See, history and reading of, I'm not going to give you a history lesson here, but I'm just going to go over it slightly. But history and reading the scriptures shows us that the Corinthians at the time were somewhat influenced by something called Gnosticism that emphasized both wisdom and knowledge. Okay? And so Paul was kind of addressing that, but bringing it back around to what is godly wisdom and knowledge, which makes them both keys to true spirituality. And you go, well, that's really cool, but what is Gnosticism? Well, Gnostics was a sect of philosophers who believed they were the true Christians, by the way, that emphasized personal spiritual wisdom and knowledge over orthodox teaching and relationship with salvation being direct knowledge of the supreme divinity. In other words, it wasn't about what Jesus did, it was about what we had in our minds, how brilliant we were when it comes to who Jesus is. It came down to the human head versus the human heart of Ezekiel that we received when it went from stone to flesh. See, one reason, and you see this in other parts of Corinthians, because in 1 Corinthians 1-3, it's really dominated by the discussion of wisdom. And Paul's building up to the gifts, okay, and addressing this. Especially if you look at 1 Corinthians 1:18-27, which is 10 verses, the word wisdom, or a derivative of the word wisdom, is there 12 times in 10 verses. So he's really wanting to drive home what is godly wisdom. Paul is really trying to make a point. He's trying to differentiate to the Corinthians, to us, the difference between good and evil wisdom. That's what it really boils down to. Because wisdom, again, as you look around, can be used both in a good sense and a negative sense. See, the Gnostics in the day were using wisdom in an evil way, scripturally speaking, or in a worldly way, manner which was leading the Corinthians to begin to doubt Paul and the biblical gospel, or as he says in Galatians, my gospel. Because he was so confident of what he was preaching that was the gospel of God that he could claim it because he believed it. Sam Storms, in his book, Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts, which is an excellent book if you're looking for a beginner's guide to spiritual gifts, says this, evil wisdom is a rhetorical skill. In other words, I can baffle you with, I'm not going to use the word that's normally used there, but with fine language and fine words, with being eloquent and natural reasoning used to undermine the gospel. That's the purpose of it. It's to come across in such a manner that you think I am really intelligent and educated and I must understand what the true gospel is because I'm so smart. But as we know, it's not about the wisdom of man. Sam Storms addresses worldly wisdom. It's the perspective of the unbelieving mind that knows nothing of the realm of the spirit and regards the idea of a crucified Messiah as absurd. We all know those people. On the other hand, thank the Lord, there's spiritual wisdom. See, that's why God is still giving us the nine. So we can walk in godly wisdom. So we can draw closer to the Lord, so we can edify, build up, encourage, and strengthen one another, so we can speak forth the truths of the living God, so that we move closer and closer to being who God has called us to be, walking on our sanctification. As we know, when we were born again, we became this new creature in Christ. And then the gifts help us to walk that out and to become more and more like that. Is there anybody in here that's arrived that no longer sins? I just want to know who I'm talking to this morning. Because if there is, I'm going to trade places with you. Okay? Because I haven't reached that point yet. But he wants us to walk in godliness. Going back to Mark Stibb, in his book, this is another great book, Know Your Spiritual Gifts. It defines godly wisdom this way. It's a charismatic revelation into God's secret, redemptive purposes in history. See, he has had a redemptive purpose in history before we were ever. It should be seen first and foremost as an inspired word concerning the secret heavenly wisdom behind the death of an emaciated carpenter in ancient Palestine. Wow. Back to the word of wisdom. Again, Sam Storms. Word of wisdom may be the ability to articulate life-changing insights into God's mysterious saving purposes for mankind, both on a global plane as well in application to individuals. In other words, spiritual wisdom refers to an utterance or a word that comes out of God's mysterious purposes for our lives and plans according to God's knowledge. And it's often for a church or a person. And the whole being is to help us to walk out our redemption that came through the cross. See, we weren't just redeemed. We weren't born again so we can sit around on our thumbs. We were redeemed and born again so we can spread the gospel, so we can plant and water, so we can edify and encourage and strengthen and build up, so we can walk with each other, so we can mentor and disciple, so we can be good mothers and fathers, so we can change the stinking world. Excuse my language. No, don't excuse it. I meant it. And the beautiful thing about the word of wisdom, it will never, ever, ever contradict Holy Scripture. How's it end at the book, ending in the book of Revelations? What's it say about adding or subtracting? It's not a good thing to do. In fact, the word of wisdom always supports and agrees with Scripture. See, I'm starting out with the theological, and I'm going to get to the pragmatic of the two and how they intertwine. So now we have the word of knowledge, or the utterance. Verse 8 in the ESV says, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. But in New Living Translation says it this way, to another the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. It's special for that moment. And the Strong's word there is gnosis, which is interesting because Gnosticism was being a cult, and that's where they took it from, because we have the superior knowledge. But gnosis is the power of knowing, it's intelligence and comprehension, but not man's, but God's. Lonida, again, says the content of what is known. See, knowledge provides facts that would not normally have been known about something practical or spiritual. It's the intimate personal knowledge. I mean, it's intimate personal knowledge of God, not based upon intellect, but based upon love and on his relationship with us as he downloads to us, as he shares with us in those intimate times when we spend with him as we're, you know, even like the other day when I was riding down the street on my motorcycle, some thoughts that just came to me that I'm going, Lord, help me remember them so I can put them into this teaching. He can speak to us anywhere. Yes. And does. Spiritual knowledge comes through a personal relationship between God, between you and Jesus, between you and the Holy Spirit. A personal relationship that was made possible because of Christ and the cross. Where Gnosticism, saying that again, I just remind her because it still plays into what Paul's addressing here, salvation through wisdom and knowledge. But Paul was fighting against, you know, like I said, it comes into play here. But Paul's addressing this issue of knowledge in other parts of Corinthian letters, but only rarely elsewhere in his writings, is what I'm talking about. It appears four times in chapter 8 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and twice in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. When you look at all of this together, it's obvious that Paul is talking about knowledge being spiritually driven, having a spiritual insight into the indescribable and unfathomable width, height, depth, length of God's grace as demonstrated through Christ. It's something that every believer needs because we can't walk the walk. We can't even talk the talk without God's knowledge, without his wisdom. Okay? And I'll tie those two together here in a few moments. Mark Stibb again says the word of knowledge is the special ability to put into words divinely revealed knowledge about God's grace. See, knowledge is a gift given to his church or given to individuals so they can communicate one to another insight into the mysteries of Christ. From a simple, you know, I sense that there's somebody here that has some really bad back issues, to maybe something more profound. Like some I've heard that Kansas City is going to experience drought this year. This was several years ago and it came to pass. So this all leads to the question, you know, I like questions. Whether the utterance of wisdom and knowledge are revelatory or not. The answer is yes and yes. See, wisdom or knowledge is where I begin tying them together. Wisdom or knowledge could be revelatory, and it could be based upon experience that we have gained as we have walked through life with the Lord, allowing Him to lead us. And then it is manifested through us, and it increases through prayer and study the Word, and we will share it with others. But yes, it can come directly from the Holy Spirit. In that moment where all of a sudden I just would say, Chris, the Lord wants you to know, and He wants you to do, which is knowledge and wisdom. Either way, though, as mentors, as fathers and mothers, that we can provide counsel to each other. We can provide knowledge and wisdom to each other that we obtain by walking through life. And some of you know that one of my great disappointments in churches at times is you have people who are older and they retire from their jobs and they retire from ministry. And they've walked for 40 years with the Lord or whatever. And they've got all this wisdom and all this knowledge they could impart to younger people. And they disappear. Because of whatever reason. Remember, God really spoke to me when I went to that thing in Dover in the first part of December when I was invited there and there's 30 of us there. That I and those who are my age and older were part of the Joshua generation. Remember what Joshua did? He led a bunch of young people into the promised land. So He's never done with us older people. He just isn't. He just wants us to continue to walk with Him and be used. We've talked about how God has told us over time, has prophesied to us, that we're called to be a hospital. And we've seen people come here and get healed up and go, right? A number of people. And we've also talked about how, as we're going through that process, you don't have to wait till you're totally healed to be used of God. Again, is there anybody here totally healed? But part of the healing process comes when you start allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself through us, through the nine other gifts, serving, hospitality, whatever, hosting home groups, leading home groups, you name it. But you can gain healing in that way too. One-on-one over breaking bread at lunch or breakfast or coffee, you know. Like the men's thing yesterday or Thursday mornings when the men get together at 6 o'clock. It's not p.m., it's a.m. at Mel's Diner. Women are not allowed. Just want to let you know that. If you come, the waitresses will set you at a different table. No offense, we're not sexist, we're not misogynist. We just want our time. Plus, we don't want you to think we're not saved. But, just kidding. Well, yeah, we'll do that. They can sit in the other room and we'll just drop the check off with them.
Well, do you know, I've actually been there when you've been there.
Oh, have you? And they still love us, Frank.
Well, you didn't learn anything.
See, wisdom can be, I am. I feel it, a little heat there. No, I didn't put rouge on.
Wisdom is really can be defined as sharing that good old down-home horse sense that God has placed in your heart over time as you beat your head against the wall trying to figure life out and getting it into the Bible to help you figure it out. It can be that which you picked up as you walked out the Christian life.
as you studied the Word of God, as you prayed, as you listened to godly teachings. Wisdom and knowledge can be something you receive from your spiritual fathers and your mothers, from your mentors, from those who are discipling. But it can also be something that you receive instantaneously as Holy Spirit would move upon you or move upon somebody else to give you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. So how does word of wisdom and knowledge work together? Knowledge helps us to know, and wisdom helps us to know how to apply the knowledge that God gives us. Knowledge is the what, and wisdom is the how, is a nice simple way of saying it. Knowledge is the what, and wisdom is the how. So that being said, when we look at Paul's teachings into some depth, and this is where it's required for you guys to put on, all of us to put on our Berean hats, it's probably good for us to stay somewhat cautious and not get too dogmatic when we define these two gifts. And what am I talking about? The truth is, when you're in that moment and somebody comes up to you and shares something with you, it may be difficult to understand if it's a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, or a prophecy. I don't know, maybe we shouldn't try and figure out. Maybe we should just receive it at a time. Maybe we don't need to know. Maybe we shouldn't try to define how God speaks. Now, if you have a mind like mine, I will analyze it. I will try to figure out what it is. But we don't want to put ourselves in a box. The main thing we want to do is receive what God is saying to us at the moment. Okay? And really focus upon that. Now, if it's something we need to know, you could probably say it's a word of knowledge. If it's something that we need to do, you could probably say it's a word of wisdom, okay, on how to do something that we know we need to do, that we already have the information to do. And if it's something very specific and direct, we could probably say it's a prophetic word. But I think ultimately what we need to do is just thank God for how he loves us and cares about us and speaks to us and gives us direction and gives us information on how we can walk this life out called being a Christian so that we can become all he wants us to be. See, the bottom line is that God speaks forth wisdom and knowledge, words of wisdom and knowledge in various ways for various reasons, but always to build up, to edify, to encourage, to bless, always to speak to his children, always for the common good, always so we can help each other. Every prophetic word I have ever received, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, was never just exclusively for me that I would hold and hide, but it was so I could grow to minister, to walk with, to encourage, to speak forth. And that's what happens to the utterance of wisdom and the utterance of knowledge, or the word of wisdom and word of knowledge. So what does our response need to be? Call out to him. James 1:5, New Living Testament, New Living Translation. If you need wisdom, and I'll put in our knowledge, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He now will not rebuke you for asking. And just now the picture is in my mind. He doesn't want us to go through life. I know some of you may be too young to remember the old pinball machines, but you know, you pull it back and the ball goes up and beep, 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 beep. He doesn't want us to go through life like that. He wants us to go through life in a straight line with him. That's why it says in the Old Testament that he brings the mountains down, and he brings the valleys up, and he makes our path straight, because he wants us going straight toward him. I mean, there's other reasons. But he wants us to receive words of wisdom, whether they come through experience, whether they come directly through somebody's experience, which is really God working in their lives. So let's cry out for the gifts. The worship team wants to come back up for these gifts. But let's cry out for all these gifts. Let's pray that we are open to receiving whatever gifts they have. You know, the gift of tongues for, and it's for personal edification, okay? And that's a big one. But the other gifts, so that we can build up the body, so we can encourage one another, so we can walk strong in the Lord. So when things like coronavirus and other things come along, that we're not overwhelmed with fear, but we're overwhelmed with faith, because we know we serve a God that will guide us through. And then we can trust Him because He loves us. We need them. So we can walk in all God has for us. We need them. So we can help each other. We need them for the common good. And I'm just going to close with this prayer I wrote down. I don't often write down a prayer, but I just took this as from Him. Daddy, speak to us. Speak to us however You want, but speak to us. We need to hear Your voice. We need to know Your wisdom. We need to know Your knowledge. We need to receive direction from You so that we run the race set before us, and so we magnify and glorify Your amazing name, so that we can walk with others and we can encourage and strengthen them, and they would encourage and strengthen us. That in the end, as we do this, Lord, Your kingdom will be built, Your church will be established, Your true church. In Jesus' name, amen. As always, the front is open if you need prayer for anything. We're hearing some great testimonies. I mean, that thing on Janita was showing those pictures, that doesn't happen naturally. I'm just curious what your doctor said, but that doesn't happen naturally. So you can.